Warm greetings to you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to thank the session and thank the pastor for this kind invitation to be with you this morning to share with you from God's holy word. Please turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We shall be reading from verses 22 to 25. 22 to 25, Colossians 3. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. How is the situation in your workplace? We know that we live in a world that is wicked. We know that in the working world there will be a lot of office politics. The higher you climb in the corporate ladder, the more enemies you make. There will be a host of people beneath you trying their utmost to unseat you so that they can take your place. This is the world that we're living in. And you'll find that it is a dog-eat-dog world, you may argue. It is difficult, it is tough, and the environment is not very conducive for a very mild and meek Christian. To the students, it is not too far different. You will have students who will have no qualms trying their utmost to usurp your number one position if you are number one. And they will try their utmost to get that scholarship to make sure that you get disqualified if necessary. And some of them might even use means that are foul. I remember when I was in the university, we were told by the librarian during the school vacation, they will employ students to help sort out all the books that have been deliberately mislaid, not all, some of them, by certain students. Books that are required reading, they will be placed in some parts of the book of the library that will never be found. After they photocopy the relevant chapters for themselves, and they will hide them on the top of bookshelves or won't put it back in the proper place so that their classmates will not have access to them. At home, you may have housewives because of the boring nature of their duties at home. Week in, week out, they will have to wash, they will have to cook, they will have to iron, and they will have to do the housework, the mopping, the vacuuming, the cleaning. And to top it off, the children and even the husband won't even give an appreciation. Not even a word, not even a nice thank you, mom. Thank you, darling. And you feel that it is so boring and so tiresome, it's so repetitive. And so we murmur and we complain. So the question is, to whom are we serving? At home, you serving your husband or your children? Or are you serving the Lord? In your workplace, are you serving for the mighty dollar? Or are you serving the Lord? In school, why are you studying so hard, students? For your own benefit, for that scholarship that you may climb the ladder of success, that your life ahead of you will be mapped out by that scholarship that you hope to attain? Or are you studying hard for your parents? Or are you studying hard for the Lord? As long as we are Christians, the Bible says you must serve the Lord. Because everything that you touch and handle will bear the name of the Lord. You call yourself a Christian, that means you bear the name of Christ. And as a Christian, how you conduct yourself, how you serve, will reflect on your Master, on your Savior, on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are lazy, if you are the complaining type, it will reflect on Christ. They will forget your name. But they will remember that there was a Christian who crossed my path in life when I was a student, when I was working in this office, in this company. Where all I can remember of him is that he murmurs, he complains. There is nothing good coming out of his mouth. Every time he opens his mouth, it is to say some nasty thing about somebody else. There is no joy in him. Are you serving the Lord? Or are you serving someone else? Or something else? But then you say, preacher, you have no idea the kind of environment that I'm in. It is a very difficult environment at home, in school, and in my workplace. It's difficult. Are you a slave? We have no idea what a slave is like. When the Apostle Paul wrote Colossians 3, verses 22 to 25, he was writing to the slaves, literally slaves. We are called Singaporeans. We have our citizenship and we have our rights. And we have so much to gloat about. We have just celebrated our National Day. And when we travel overseas, we flash our red-colored passport as if we are somebody. We have no concept of what it means to be a slave. But in the days of the Apostle Paul, slaves were very common. There were five ways, according to the Bible, how a person can be a slave. He could be sold as a slave, like young Joseph. His own brother sold him as a slave. Or you could be captured as a slave, like Daniel and the three friends and many young, strong men brought to Babylon against their will, away from home. They have no choice, captured as slaves. Another kind would be those who make very bad business judgments and they end up owing a lot of money and so they have to sell themselves. And if the amount is very large, they have to sell their entire family to pay the debt and they will have to serve the creditor, the Lord, whom they owe the money as slaves. The fourth group will be those whose parents are slaves and you're born into a slave family. You have no choice. Your parents are slaves and you're born to this world and you will be slave for the rest of your life. And the fifth would be those who appreciate their master so much that even when they are to be set free and they tell the master, you have been a good master and I want to serve you for the rest of my life, and they will pierce their ear as a signal, as a symbol that they are slave for life, willing slave. The word used here in verse 22, servants, is the word slaves. Slaves. That's how the Apostle Paul described these Christians who were slaves. Their environment would be something like this. They'll wake up very early in the morning if your landlord, if your master is an owner of the wheat field, the vineyard. You will prepare breakfast, and then after that, you will walk out in the farm, in the fields. And then you have to come back if your duty includes preparing lunch. And after you finish, you have to stand by one side to watch your master and the children eat their lunch. And whatever that's left behind will be yours. And then after that, if need be, you'll go out into the field again to work. And then you have to come back and prepare dinner. And after dinner is prepared, you stand one side and let the master and the children eat everything. And if they are nice to you, they leave some behind, you eat the leftover. And then you have to stand and wait for the master to say, now you can go to sleep. If not, you just stand there and you don't go to sleep. And if he's not happy with you, he can beat you, he can kill you, and he'll be fine. You are a slave. You are just an object that he owns. You are nothing, literally, in the eyes of society. He can do to you whatever he likes. And yet, when they become Christians, Paul had these words to encourage them. And also to encourage all of us to know that living in a world, it is a world of wickedness. It is a world that is in darkness. It is a world, the same world that crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life. He preached perfect messages. He did perfect miracles. And despite his perfection, they crucified him. Because darkness will hate the light. Darkness just simply do not like the light, because the moment the light shines, darkness disappears. And everywhere the Lord Jesus Christ went, his way of life exposed the kind of hypocrisy that existed in his days. And if you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to expose the sin, the wickedness, and the hypocrisy that will be in your office, in your workplace, provided you serve the Lord. If you become like the world, no different from your unbelieving colleagues, unbelieving school friends, unbelieving housewives, then no problem. The world will be your friend. The world will fight with you just as you fight with the world. The only difference is you call yourself Christians, they don't call themselves Christians. And you bring shame to the name of Christ, because that's all they're going to remember you. Christian in name, but not Christian in life. But the Bible says, servants, you serve the Lord. But how to serve the Lord? Verse 22 describes for us the first step. A servant's heart. We need to have a servant's heart. Do you have a servant's heart? Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. The masters whom God has assigned for you, these masters are according to the flesh. You obey them in all things, as long as it is not criminal, as long as it is not blasphemous, as long as it is not against the word of God, you obey them. You obey them. Cheerfully, happily, you obey them. All things. That means you do your housework cheerfully, because you're serving the Lord. But if my children are not appreciated, never mind. You're serving the Lord. In your workplace, sometimes the boss can be very unreasonable. Never mind. No matter how unreasonable, you can never compare it to between a slave and a master relationship. Slaves do not get paid. You get paid, don't you? You see, you're one up on the slaves, on the servants here. And if Paul told them from God's word, obey in all things, and they were slaves with no right, no remuneration, nothing, you are definitely better off than them. Therefore, don't complain. Do it cheerfully. And let them remember that Christians are good workers, hard workers, honest workers. And they are prepared to go the second mile. You ask me to go 1 mile, I'll go the second mile. Very hard to do. Because in those days, when a person is on his way to on a particular business, there is a law whereby any Roman soldier can just ask you to stop whatever you're doing, and you have to do it. No matter how urgent, no matter how important the business is, you have to stop or else they can kill you. And they will ask you to go out of your way to do their business. It was a very common thing in those days. And for the Lord Jesus Christ to tell the disciples, when they ask you to do that which is very, very inconvenient, to go 1 mile, you go the second mile as well. Can you do that? A servant's heart will have no problem. The problem is we think we are somebody. We have our position in the workplace. We are doctorate this, and we have our degrees after our names. I have this university degree, that university degree. I have a postgraduate degree. The problem with us is that we think we are big shots. We think we are somebody. That's our problem. But a servant's heart will allow us to obey in all things our master in the flesh. Not with eye service. Eye service anybody can do. When they are standing over my shoulder watching me, well, busy typing, busy phone call, busy doing something else. The moment the cat is away, all the many mice will play. Not with eye service. Very common in those days, also very common today. Let them look at me, busy, busy, busy. The moment they are not watching, play the fool. The computer, one click of the mouse, computer game. Next click, when the boss is watching, wow,
supposed to be typing my paper. Children do that to parents all the time. Right? Supposed to be studying very hard. The moment the mother opens the door, top, one click of the mouse. Wow, the paper, pretend. Right? In the army, we are all expert. All expert. The CSM is watching. The sergeant is watching. Wow, everybody busy doing something. The moment there's not there, lying there, lays around, do nothing. Soldiers are all very good at that. Expert. And so when we come out into the world, same thing. Go into the working world, the same thing. Why? Because we are serving men. We fail to realize that our God is omniscient. He sees all. He constantly watches over us. You bear His name, Christ's name. And He will always be there to watch over everyone who named the name of Christ. You're a Christian, right? That's what we say. Therefore, the Bible says, as a Christian, you serve with a servant's heart. Not with eye service, as man pleases, but in singleness of heart. The word singleness literally means without dissimulation or self-seeking. Purposeful, very fixed singleness of heart. In what area? In fearing God. In fearing God, not man. Because my God is watching me. My God knows exactly what I'm doing and what I'm not doing. And I want to please Him. A servant's heart. You are serving the Lord, not man. Nobody may pat you on the back. It's okay. The only patting on the back you desire is from the Lord's hand. And that day will come when you breathe your last breath or when the Lord returns. A servant's heart. Do we have a servant's heart? Or we think we have the heart of a Lord? A servant's heart. Nobody. They don't respect you. They don't call you. Never mind. It's okay. They don't appreciate you. Never mind. You serve in the church. You serve happily, cheerfully, quietly. Not for human accolades. Not for any medals. Not for any scholarship. But the Lord Himself. Are you serving the Lord? Or are you serving man? The second aspect for us to consider, with a servant's heart, verse 23, a servant's service. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Do it heartily. The word do there is in the present tense, telling us that it is a continuous labor. Continue to do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Don't just do it momentarily or last month or last year. Do it continuously until you stop. Until you stop work. Don't ever stop serving. Do it heartily, cheerfully, happily, from the heart. As if you are doing to the Lord, no matter how unreasonable the husband might be, the children unappreciative, never mind. Heartily. A servant's service. Cheerfully, not with teeth all crunched up together, muttering, mumbling something under your breath, unhappy, but do it cheerfully, happily, as unto the Lord. Paul wrote this epistle when he was in prison. He was not living in some five-star hotel, in some cushiony, air-conditioned room while he penned this nice, correct doctrines. He wrote this from his heart, from his own personal life and experience. Do you know what's it like to be scourged 39 strokes three times? None of us do. To be caned once is painful enough, but to have your back ripped open 39 strokes three times, shipwreck, stoned, ostracized, abused, put into prison, and then finally to be killed simply for preaching the word of God, for living the life that Christ asked him to live without compromise. He knew exactly what he was writing from his heart. Whatsoever you do, whatever it is, that is given to you, no matter how onerous, no matter how unreasonable it may be, because masters are very good in giving to the slaves unreasonable tasks without remuneration, without a word of thank you. And no matter how hard he served, he can never call his master Abba, Father. It will always be Master, Lord. Unlike the children, lazy fellows, but still can call the master Abba, because they are sons. But that's a slave. No right, no remuneration, just a piece of meat, literally, owned by the master to do whatever the master desires. And so Paul says, whatsoever ye do, you do it heartily. A servant's service. How do you see your service? Depends on how you see yourself and how you see yourself in relation to your Lord. Are you serving the Lord? Or are you serving man? If you are serving the Lord, then whatever you receive, it comes from the Lord. It did not come from man. It comes from the Lord. And that's why adversities are very, very wonderful. Great blessings given to us by God. Because it reveals the kind of heart condition that we have. It reveals the character that we have. What we are made of. Thank God for the lawsuit. Just received a letter from the lawyer. The preliminary hearing this coming month in September, 5th of September. We don't have to be in the chambers to see the judge. The lawyers will go in place of us. These past few months have been very, very soul-searching. You've got to check yourself many, many times to capitulate. Everything will just simply go away. And it's so easy to just forget about it. Leave the flock to be eaten up, to be deceived. Or do you stand and fight and look after the flock and protect them? But then you'll put yourself in harm's way. Is there any other option? It's not nice to be threatened with lawsuit. Worse still, to be sued, actually, to receive the lawyer's letter and to spend so many hours sitting there talking to lawyers. And they don't come cheap. I never realized how much lawyers earn until this. Frightening. But they work very hard. They got to read through piles and piles of papers. And they have to learn theology. Got to teach them what is VPP, what is KJV, and all kinds of things. Because that's what it's all about. So it's a good time for us to share the gospel with them and tell them about the Bible as well. And so you have the leading lawyer was our church member. The other one is not our church member. She is the assistant and she's not even a Christian. And so got to tell her about verbal plenary preservation, about inspiration, about Hebrew, about Aramaic, about Greek, so many things, about translation, what's the purpose of it, our church stand, opportunity to witness, but at the same time, heart condition. What is my heart made of? Adversities reveal the heart of the elders in Pandan, the heart of the deacons in Pandan. Very telling, very revealing. And adversities in our life, in your workplace, will reveal the kind of character, the heart condition that you would have. To cause you to ask yourself, whom am I serving? You do not get your bonus after working so hard. How do you react? You do not get the promotion. And your junior get promoted above you. How do you react and respond? Very revealing. Do you still rejoice and thank God? Or do you murmur and complain? It reveals, isn't it? Who are you serving? It's so easy to say, I'm serving the Lord. You sure? It's not when the sun is shining bright. Everyone can say, I'm serving the Lord. But when it is pouring, cats and dogs. When everything around you seems to collapse. You strive and you work so hard and you face retrenchment. You're serving the Lord. You're walking by faith. Trusting in the Lord to always give to you whatsoever the Lord has placed in your hand to do. Do it to the very best of your ability. Because you're not serving men, you're serving the Lord. It's only in difficult times
then you can answer honestly whether you're serving the Lord or you're serving man. And that man could be yourself. Not just your boss, could be yourself. And if it is yourself, it is no different than serving somebody else. It's the same. Still serving man. The only difference is you're self-centered. That's all. You care only for yourself, you're self-seeking, you're self-centered. But I'm working hard for my family. No difference. No difference. Every unbeliever who has a family will say the same thing as you are. You are a Christian, a child of God. You must rise above all these earthly criteria. You must have spiritual criteria because you are a spiritual person. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Unless you see yourself as such, it is so hard to have a servant's heart. Because the world will teach us the opposite. You must rise up, you must assert yourself in order to achieve, in order to be somebody in this world. Total reversal of what the Bible teaches us. The Bible says you be a servant. The world says you be a lord. Demand your rights. God says, surrender your rights. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Because you are serving the Lord something higher. So that whether you get your bonus, whether you get promotion, it's not important to you. Because you are serving the Lord. Whether they pay you or not, it's also not important. Because you are serving the Lord. And the Lord will provide, the Lord will look after. Some of you may be thinking, this fellow is living in a dream world. Right? True? The world that I'm talking about doesn't exist. The world out there is terrible. Terrible. Granted, I have not worked as long as you have. I worked only for 3.5 years. But those were wonderful years. I went up to the boss after the first year and I told him, even if I don't get paid, I'm so happy to work here. So happy to work here. Share with every one of them the gospel. Share with him the gospel every time we travel overseas together. Leave or no leave, bonus or no bonus, doesn't matter. So happy to share the gospel with the draftsman, with my two bosses, with my colleagues. One Dutchman from Holland, share with him the gospel, talk to him about Christ. Every opportunity I get, lunchtime, when they go overseas in the airplane, in the hotel room for dinner, talk to them, tell them. And you rise above all the politics and you become so contented and so happy. Trust in the Lord. To know that because I'm serving the Lord is the one who has put me in this school, put me in this office, put me in this home. No one can take that away from me if the Lord wants me here. And if the Lord wants to promote me, no one can stop him. If the Lord doesn't want to promote me, I don't want it anyway. Because you are serving your Lord, who is all-powerful, who is the best paymaster, who will never betray you, who will always give to you the very best. And if He thinks that the very best means you don't get a promotion, you don't get your bonus, praise the Lord. Because you are serving the Lord. If you are serving man that is yourself or somebody else, you're going to have your own criteria, and your criteria will most likely big house, big car, big this, big that, right? That's our criteria. How is it different from the rest of the world? A servant's attitude or a servant's heart. A servant's service. Who are you serving? And thirdly, verse 24. A servant's reward. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. It is not a reward that is of this earth. It is a reward of the inheritance. What you will receive in eternity. And to serve the Lord and to expect dollars and cents, gold and silver, it is a terrible, terrible exchange for the eternal inheritance that the Lord says, I will give to you. And when you serve man, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get gold and silver and dollars and cents that's only good for this life and this world. Have you asked yourself, why do you need that extra dollar?
Why do you need that extra dollar for? You have enough food for today. You have enough clothing for today. Is that not more than enough? If the whole world lived by faith, there is no problem with this oil prices going up. Do you realize that? They only go up because people try to live 10, 20 years ahead of time. They want to have stockpile. And because they have stockpile, the oil prices go up. If everybody lives by faith, do we have enough oil for the whole world today? Yes. Prices go down. So tomorrow, enough oil for tomorrow, when tomorrow becomes today? Yes. No problem. Same with us. Our problem is we do not live day by day. Our problem is we live week by week, month by month, and some of us live year by year, or some of them 10 years at a time. Because we are financial planners. I'm not against people plan financially. The problem is we put our faith and our trust in financial plans than in God. That's where our problem comes. There's nothing wrong with planning. Please plan. The Bible teaches us to plan because ants who have no leader, no master, they know how to plan because when they know winter is coming, they work very hard, they store up in summer. It's okay to plan. But our problem is we trust in our plans instead of God. And we therefore carry with us heavy burdens. And our rewards are all earthbound, never beyond the horizon, only earthbound, dare not look up. And therefore we work hard for basically lucre, and sometimes even filthy lucre. And how sad, isn't it? The children of the Most High God, citizens of the heavenly kingdom, will work so hard, serving so hard for the crumbs that are temporal, that one day we all know will be consumed by fire. All your beautiful homes and your beautiful offices, your beautiful cars and your expensive clothing, all will be burnt up like one big gigantic rubbish heap. And we are working so hard for all these things. The world, they do not know all these things because they are in darkness. That's one thing. They have an excuse because they are blind. They are in darkness. But we are children of light. We are supposed to be people who sees into the eternity, into the eternal realm, to know what is in store for us in eternity. That's what Revelation teaches us. It's no wonder the Bible tells us that if anyone were to read and study the book of Revelation, he will be blessed. No other books of the Bible, all other 65 books, do not have this clear blessing and promise other than the book of Revelation, because it tells us about the end. And if we really believe in the end as what our Heavenly Father promised us will happen, if we really believe it, then our present life will have to be transformed by what we say we believe. And that would include our service. Not only serving in church, and some of us sadly don't even serve in church, to our own loss. Oh, I'll retire when I have more time than I serve. The Bible says if you argue that way, you think that way, you are a fool. Because you think you have more time. And you want to give to the Lord your crumbs. The little bit of time that I don't need anymore, nothing to do. Okay, now I serve you, Lord. The Lord gave us His only begotten Son. He has only one Son. And He shed His precious blood for us. And then we have the audacity to say to the Father, Lord, let me spend the best years of my life accumulating temporal things that I know one day will perish. And then when I have accumulated all the rubbish that I want, and then now whatever time left, I will use it to serve you. How do you think God feels? How do you think you feel when somebody says that to you? I give you the crumbs. Whatever I don't need, whatever I don't want, I give it to you. Whatever I want, whatever I think is precious, I keep for myself. We won't like that. And yet, we are doing exactly that to our Lord. Whom are we serving? Who are you serving? Whether it's in the church, whether it's at home, in school studying, or whether in your workplace. If you are a Christian, there is only one answer. You have to serve the Lord. And if we are not serving the Lord, we are the loser. We are the fools. Because we bear the name of Christ. We have our eyes who once upon a time that were darkened, now opened. We are children of light. If we are not serving the Lord and we are serving man,
then we do not have a servant's heart. We are not doing the servant's service, and definitely we will not get the servant's reward that is an inheritance in heaven that the Lord says, I have reserved for all my children. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that there are Christians who have not been serving the Lord. And every deed done by God's children will be tested by fire. Some will be gold, silver, precious stone. These are those who serve the Lord. The others will be wood, hay, and stubble, and they will be consumed. And please do not think that that's an empty promise. That is a promise that God means every word of it, because He has always been a God who keeps His word. And remember verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Why? Because God is no respecter of persons. Just because you're a pastor, you're theologically trained, just because you're an elder, you've given this, you've given that, you've done this, done that, that can never be used for a justification for serving man, for not serving the Lord. God is no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter who we are, what we have done. If God can do to Moses what he did, all he did was just to disobey the voice of God. God asked him to speak to the rock. He smote it, banned from entering the promised land. That's it. He prayed. God told him, don't pray this prayer. I've already said you cannot enter in. Means you cannot enter in. Don't pray this prayer. That's it. You're disqualified from entering the promised land. Joshua will take your place and he will lead the people in. You will die in the wilderness. That's it. And he has done so much for the Lord. He did everything from the day when he obeyed God at the burning bush calling. And all he did wrong was just one tiny little sin. That was it. That was it. No respect of persons as far as God is concerned. Because more had been given to Moses, more was expected of him. And that's why the standard that Moses must maintain was very high. So to us, there was a very small sin. It's just, come on, Lord. But as far as God was concerned, Moses knew it. It was a very serious sin. Spoke to God face to face 40 days and 40 nights, 3 times. To prophets, God said, I speak through visions and dreams. But to Moses, I speak face to face. Tremendous privilege. But with every privilege, the expectation from Moses was also very high. Likewise, you have been blessed with much. More is expected of you. Whom are you serving? You serve the Lord, you have no worries. Literally, no worries. You have the best master who will always give to you the very best. No need to complain. No need to be bothered by the office politics. No need to be afraid of people above you or beneath you trying to kill you or rob you or do whatever they want to you. Because when you are serving the Lord, you know you are indestructible. The Lord will always be there to care for you, to look after you, to lift you up when you are down, to nurture you and to help you. There is no better master than the Lord. And if you truly know Him as your Lord and your Savior, and you do not want Him to be your master, the question is, why not? Serve not man. Serve the Lord with a servant's heart, with a servant's service. No murmuring, no complaining. Whatsoever you receive, as if it is from the Lord, you do it. Cheerfully, heartily, singleness of mind. And then one day, you're going to get an inheritance that the Lord says, I will give to all my children who serve me faithfully. Let us pray.